lighter and brighter. And as part of our five-year plan, after consultation, we're on our way to making it even more attractive than it was before. But right now, we're midway through making it attractive. So we won't be able to have coffee in the foyer, but please feel free to bring it into church, or if you're bold enough and it's still sunny when we finish, we'll open the doors and go outside in the garden. It's just a one-off this week. Next week, everything hopefully will be back to normal and it will look magnificent. The food bank, which everyone says, where's the food bank, is actually just tucked in the corner by the door currently. It will go back, no doubt, to somewhere else. That's right. Oh, and the Christian Aid envelopes, there is a tray by the hymn book stand. We've been putting our Christian Aid envelopes in, the ones we took out of the box, and people have brought them today. So pop your Christian Aid envelope in there if you'd like to deliver it. Next thing, there's a circuit service here next Sunday at 10:30. It's Graham Edwards, our superintendent, is preaching, so everyone's coming to us here next Sunday. At 10:30, it's the morning service. And finally, we welcome Anne to... All mobile phones, can they kindly be switched off? I think that's the computer picking something up. We welcome Anne, who's going to preach to us this morning. Now, the chair is there to help Anne. If you noticed, I've got a dodgy hip and knee, and I'm not the only one in this congregation. And that step can be quite steep and wobbly. So health and safety have assessed the situation. And that's a very safe chair, but it's there for anybody who needs to get up on here, like I do or Anne does, to use it with total confidence that there will not be an accident and we need an ambulance on a Sunday. So Anne, do come forward, taking care with the chair, and we welcome you to lead our service this morning. I should just go down.
Good morning. Our call to worship this morning is a welcome from God. We come here to meet with God, and he welcomes us as we come to worship. So come with joy and thanksgiving. Come with sadness and pain. Come with faults and failings. Come with guilt and fear, with grief and despair. Come just as you are. Come into the presence of love and rest. All are forgiven. All are welcome. All are loved. We come in his name. So we sing our opening hymn, number 443, Come, Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love. Number 443. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come with joy to praise and worship your holy name. Help us at the beginning of our worship to focus our minds on you and to give you our undivided attention. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see your glory. Open our ears that we might hear your call. Open our minds that we may know your mysteries. Lord, open our hearts that they might vibrate with your love. Make us alert to you that we may discover your presence. Lord, make us sensitive to you, that we may learn your purpose. Lord God, we give thanks for the world in which we live, with all its resources to meet our needs. We come with sorrow that too often we take too much, and we do not care properly for the earth. Forgive us that in our greed and thoughtlessness we have endangered future life. Help us to treat your creation with respect. You know what is in our hearts, Lord. You know our shortcomings and our failings. We thank you that you are a forgiving God. And we praise you that in the name of Jesus, we are assured of sins forgiven. So be with us now as we worship you and open our hearts to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Can anybody tell me what happened on Thursday? What day it was? Ascension Day. It's not a day we look for very much in the Methodist Church, is it? Within the Anglican Church, within the Roman Catholic Church, they might have services on that Thursday to celebrate Ascension. But it's one of those days that can pass us Methodists by. But Wesley thought it was an important day. Yes, he was an Anglican, we must admit. But nevertheless, he thought it worth going to church on Ascension Day. It was the only day that was midweek, apart from when Christmas happened midweek and apart from Good Friday, that he thought it was really worth attending church on a midweek service. And why? To him, it was because it was as important as Christmas, as the incarnation, as God coming to earth in human form. We just need to, if you really want to know what Christmas is about, don't read the carols. Read that hymn of Charles Wesley's, "Let Earth and Heaven Combine, Angels and Men Agree." to celebrate divine, the incarnate deity, our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Just read through the words of that hymn, and it just tells you exactly the enormity of the incarnation. And this was important to Wesley because the ascension marks the end of the incarnation. It marks the time when Jesus has left his physical form and he's gone back to what he was prior to when he came to earth. And that is why the ascension was important to Wesley. So we're now going to hear read the reading from Acts and then have the sketch on the ascension.
This reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the very same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen.
"Hello, Peter. I'm told you were with Jesus on the mountain when he returned to the Father."
"Yes, yes, I was there. But so were the other 10 disciples. We all saw Jesus enter into the cloud. He loved mountains, you know. He often went on his own up a mountain to pray."
"I thought Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried."
"You're right. But God raised him from the dead. Mary Magdalene was the first to see him. To be honest, I don't think any of us believed her at first. But then he joined 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he appeared to the rest of us too, several times."
"Interesting. He wasn't just a ghost then?"
"No. Thomas touched him, felt his wounds. And Jesus ate with fish with us that he had cooked for our breakfast after we'd fished all night. Ghosts don't eat."
"He really was alive?"
"Almost certainly. We all saw him several times. We were just really getting used to the fact that he was still alive and that he would just suddenly appear amongst us."
"Tell me what happened at the Ascension then."
"We were with Jesus on Mount Olivet. He loved the place, you know. He was preparing us to accept that he was going back to the Father. He promised that he'd always be with us. I think he knew we'd find opposition, just as he had, and we'd need to be strong. He told us to wait in Jerusalem till the helper he had promised us arrived." Then he moved a little way from us, and a cloud hid him from our sight.
You mean like the way a cloud can come down suddenly on the mountains in Scotland or the Lake District?
You could say that, but I think it was more like the cloud that hides the glory of God, like the cloud that filled the tent of meeting when Moses spoke with God, like the cloud on Mount Sinai when Moses went up to meet God.
Have you seen Jesus since then?
No. But do you know, he never said goodbye or farewell. His last words were, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of time." You see, he's not restricted anymore by space and time.
Where do you think he is now?
Oh, he's let loose in the world, in all those who believe in him and who continue his work.
The Lord is here. Alleluia. His spirit is with us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks, Jean and Roger. So we now sing our next hymn, which is number 678. Come, all who look to Christ today, stretch out your hands, enlarge your mind. Number 678. Come all who look to Christ today, stretch out your hand, hold your mind. Look at those living well, and all my humbly seek will find. Come all who will from every place find. Accept the Spirit's strong embrace, which binds us in community. Come young and old, we pray. Trust in Christ and live in peace. Anticipate that final light when strong and bigger treasures may be lost in praise and sight. So now we have the reading from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 17, reading from verses 1 to 11. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew them with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I prayed for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Amen."
Thank you. So at this time when John is writing about, it's just towards the end of the Last Supper. They've had supper together. The disciples have got clean feet. At the beginning, Jesus had washed their feet. And they've chatted over while they've had supper together. But Jesus knows that he's at the culmination of his mission, that things are beginning to go against him, and that they will have something to look forward to that will not be very pleasant. And the disciples don't really know what is going to happen. And he realizes that the disciples really need encouragement, because they will be facing those same kind of persecutions that he would face. When he's in this prayer, praying for them, he's going to go through worse things than the disciples would. But he's not praying to God for himself. He's praying on their behalf. He's not so much concerned for them. And it is a time when they really would be concerned. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the disciples? They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd learned from him. They'd watched him teach and heal. And they'd watched how he'd accepted all kinds of people into his community. They'd come back one day and found him sat on a well, the edge of a well. And he was chatting away to the woman who was a Samaritan woman. And they couldn't understand how he could do things like that. Bad enough that it was a Samaritan person, but a woman? You just didn't talk to women. And yet Jesus had shown them how women needed respect just as much as men. The way he treated Mary and Martha, the way he treated other women. Do you know, in that first century, it was only the Christian church that proved that women were worth something because of the way in which they were treated. They had been treated by Jesus, but they learned, his disciples learned that in him there was no male or female, but all were worthy of his love. And when Jesus had said to them at one stage, by the love you have for each other, that's the way people will recognize you as mine. And they had realized, and it had shown in the way that they lived their lives. But here in this prayer too, Jesus is, it's a prayer really when he comes to ask for unity for them. He himself is united with God. Whatever God is, Jesus is, and that unity is inseparable. But Jesus wants his disciples to know that same unity that he has with the Father. He wants them to share that kind of unity themselves. And in order to do that, in order to get that kind of unity with God, you need really to spend time with him. You need to consolidate your relationship with God. And that is what he is saying to them, that this is what eternal life is. It's not an everlasting life. It's not prolonging life. It's not something that will come at some future date. Eternal life is now, a new quality of life that is lived in Jesus, and that is now available to those who want to live with him and who want to trust him. And that's one of the reasons when he tells them, when he leaves them on the mountain at the Ascension, and he tells them to go back into the city and to wait until the Comforter will come, until the Helper will come to them. They have several days, they have 10 days to wait before that happens. What do they do in that time? Jesus has left them. They are on their own now. They go into the city, but they do as he says. No doubt there'll be times when they will need to go through difficulties. But by spending this time together and with God, they are consolidating their relationship with each other and with God. They are putting down roots. And it's not so much a root. I know at the beginning of the springtime, I was getting my veg patch ready to put my little seedlings into it. And as I got them out to put them in, yes, they weren't very big roots that were there. But, you know, there's one of my plants in the garden that I know has very deep roots. It's not like the cactus which you have indoors, which has got very small roots. But I use comfrey as a plant to become my fertilizer. I make my own fertilizer, organic fertilizer from comfrey. And the reason it works is because it puts its roots really far down into the soil, and it draws up nutrients from where other plants can't reach. And those nutrients come through into the leaves. So when I'm making my fertilizer, I'm taking these leaves off. I don't do what the gardener's world folks would do, put them in a barrel and fill it with water. Yes, I could do that, but that's a real smelly way of doing it. Yeah, you've done it, have you? But what I tend to do, I've got a plastic bottle, the lemonade bottle or something, take the bottom off it, turn it upside down, and I stuff these leaves in there. And then I put that on top of another container, a jar or something, and get another bottle that hasn't got the bottom cut off, but I'll fill that with water and put it on the top as a weight, so to press it down. So what comes out at the bottom is concentrated comfrey liquid. And that has to be watered down 20 odd times before using it as a fertilizer. And that's the way to get comfrey liquid without the smell. And even when you've got all of the liquid out and you've used it, there's still those bits of dried up leaves in the bottom. And they still can be used. You just fling them onto the compost heap and they do their job there. Those deep roots go down and draw up all the nutrients. And that's the kind of deep roots that God wants us to put down into him, into his life, to spend so much time with him that we are able to draw so much from him, and our lives will begin to be like him. That's what Jesus wants us to be as we go out into the world now. His message to his disciples was, "I am with you always, even to the end of time." And be strong and have courage there. And you know, this happens in every age. We see how people can live that life. We see it, I mean, today is Aldersgate Sunday as well as Ascension Day. But we see it in the life of John Wesley. We see how he gave himself, put those deep roots into God and into the life that God wanted him to live. He wasn't trusting in his own ability. Although at the very beginning, perhaps he had been, before that Aldersgate experience, before he met up with other people who showed him that God had something different for him to do. Some of those initial sermons when he was a minister were very several points to them, you know, and very prim and proper. But John Wesley learned from that Aldersgate experience that God wanted to be working within his heart, that he had to give up what he wanted to do and let God have his way in his life. And that's the kind of thing that God is wanting to do with us today. Just as he did with those first disciples. Just as he did in every age with people who will give their lives to him. He wants to be able to use them to spread his message, to tell others that he is alive. Are you willing to be such a person, committed to God, as he had been praying in this prayer, for unity first? And then he consecrated himself and asked the disciples to commit themselves to him. So may we all give him that commitment, and may God's kingdom grow because we are depending on him and not in our own strength. Amen. So from now on, God is not looking on from a distance, as that song Nancy Griffith sang. From now on, humanity has been embraced by the divinity of Christ, and he continues to live within the human heart. I am in you and you are in me, said Jesus. So Christ is in us. So now we sing the hymn number 504. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day.
There really is no introduction to this.
Christ my Saviour, live in me from day to day. All his love and power controlling all I do or say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart. And now we have our intercessions, after which we will have the offering and the offering prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we rejoice with your whole church at the ascension of our Lord and the fulfillment of his work on earth. We thank you for all the saints who have faithfully continued this work, especially for those who came to this country. May we continue your work as we unite with other Christians to reveal your presence to those we live amongst. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are in positions of power in all governments. We pray that they may make informed decisions for the good of the planet and all its people. We pray for all in key positions of finance and business. May the decisions they make be made with courage and integrity, never valuing profit more than people, and ensuring their workers at least have a living wage. And we pray for all who are struggling to make ends meet in these difficult times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are homeless because of war or conflict, as well as those who are suffering because of climate crises. And for the homeless and destitute in this country. And we give thanks for the many food banks that have been made available for the needing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those in the caring professions, nurses and doctors, carers and paramedics. Give them the strength to be able to continue when they are working long shifts and they are mentally and emotionally exhausted. And we pray for all of those that they care for. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in the silence, we bring our own prayers to God. Father, we offer ourselves as a means by which these prayers can be answered. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. And now we take up the offering.
We don't take it.
You don't take it up, right? Just a prayer. Let us pray then. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your generosity. We thank you for the gifts that you give to us. And we bring you now the gifts that everyone has given electronically or by whatever means. And we pray, Lord God, that both gifts and givers might be blessed and might know that those gifts are bringing in your kingdom. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. I dare say the children aren't returning now either, having not had their muddy church. So we sing the hymn number 410, Lord, your church on earth is seeking. No intro? Church on earth is seeking thy renewal from above. Teach us all the art of keeping with the accent of thy love. We would heed thy great commission. Go ye into every place, preach, baptize, fulfill my mission. Serve with love and share my grace. Freedom give to those in bondage. Lift the burdens caused by sin. Give new hope, new strength. Let's say the grace to one another together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.